Welcome to the Heavens Devils podcast, a Forest Green Rovers podcast by two Americans who don't really know what they're talking about. My name is Nathan. This is Sham.
Heavens Devils podcast. Is it coming home?
It's coming home, Shimmy! It's coming home! It's coming home, Shimmy. Oh my goodness, what a match.
Yeah.
We just watched the semifinals, as I'm sure all of you did. Oh my goodness.
Wow. Yeah, it seems
wild.
Seems almost like it's destiny now. Right? A Wembley final.
Oh, it's... You know, Shimmy, I would never used to be in, I don't know, I never was really an England fan. But, you know, the combination of our FGR relationships and seeing some of those large shirtless men dancing in Wembley, I can't help but find myself rooting for England. Shimmy, it's coming home.
If anything's going to tug at your heartstrings, it's large, drunken, shirtless men.
Yes.
And you know, Nathan, no one would necessarily fault you for not being a huge England fan. That's kind of like in our
right.
It's our cultural, like our cultural
1776.
You know, DNA, so to speak. So it's like from the beginning. You know, going way back to, is it an FGR member or a founding father, right? Founding fathers, like, you know, not so sure if I'm a big fan of the these England, you know, these English guys over here. But but like you said, we have to support them.
Right.
We made so many great relationships this year, we have to support
them. So yeah, Shimmy, it's coming home, baby. It's coming home. Man. And Shimmy, we're podding again. Are we doing this right? I don't even know. Are we doing this right? We haven't. It's been so long, Shimmy.
I know. All time and space has kind of flipped on end. It's. I feel like we were kind of on the FGR schedule. It felt like we were like Tuesday and Saturday guys. We were planning the pod, thinking about what to do. It was just so much. But then, of course, work got really, really busy, so we had to. You know, take a bit of a break, but man, exciting to be back. Excited to be talking about FGR and a new season coming.
Yes! Oh, it's great to be back, Shimmy. And we meant to do a really stupid award show, like at the end of the season. We had it all planned out. We were ready to go. We even had some like special guests lined up, both from FGR, but also outside of FGR. Yeah. But we just got way too busy at like a bad time. Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Now it's kind of, I feel like it's too late for an end of war, you know, end of season award show because it's the new season. So anyway, we'll do it next year, hopefully, maybe.
But so, we can't blame a writer's strike. We can't blame anything else. It was just got way too busy. That would have been fun. But we carry a lot of great ideas into next year, and hopefully we'll have a really great extravaganza.
There we go. Yes, sir. And we probably still won't be doing regular pods until the season starts, but we're going to have a few more preseason pods before it all goes down. But today, Shimmy, we are back with a huge one, a big one, a massive one, Shimmy. We have
huge
director of football for the Forest Green Rovers, Richard Hughes, Shimmy.
Oh, yeah.
Richard Hughes.
What a get. What a summer get.
Let's go. Man, the perfect. Oh, yeah. I mean, is there a better guest for the summer, too?
Yeah, we hit the jackpot on the pod summer transfer window. To get that sort of guest for the summer is huge.
Yeah, oh, man. Richard Hughes, amazing guy. I mean, the director of football is one of the most important people at any football club. And for the Forest Green Rovers, it is no different. Richard is responsible, and he'll tell you about this in the interview in just a few minutes. He's responsible for everything relating to the footballing side of the Forest Green Rovers, from signing players to hiring Coach Rob Edwards to recruiting the best groundkeepers in League 2, Shimmy. He does it all. It's crazy. An amazing human, an amazing director of football who has played a massive role in establishing FGR as a League 2 club and helping us push for promotion to League 1. If you love FGR, you are going to love this chat, and you are going to love Richard Hughes if you don't know him already.
If you believe FGR is the little club that could, you know that it's the people that have made it a success so far and is going to make sure it's a success into the future. And we just learned so much from Richard Hughes. What a combo.
Yes. What a combo. One more thing before we get into this chat with Richard. So pretty much the rest of the pod will just be a chat with Richard. But Shimmy, we gotta figure out how and when we're getting to the new launch, Shimmy. My plan was to go for the first three matches. The first home match against Sutton, then the Carabao Cup match against Bristol City, and then the away day at Walsall. But I still don't know what the like travel thing restrictions are to the UK, so I gotta figure that out. I mean, everyone came there for the Euros, right? Like, didn't people travel there from the Euros from like Germany and Denmark today? And
I don't think they traveled there. I think it's like people that were from the countries that were already in the UK got ticket allotment. So Danish people that were already there. I think Ukrainian people that were already in the UK, they're the folks that got it. So but I feel like I read that they're trying to lift restrictions soon, like fully lift restrictions soon.
Okay, so to be announced, to be determined, whatever. We don't know. TBD. We'll figure out when we're coming. I really want to come for the opening day in that first week of four screen football. But
and we also want to give folks a chance to recover from the insane hangover after it comes home and England win the Euro.
Right.
So they're gonna need need about 3 to 4 weeks. I feel like after that party. So.
Let's go. It's coming home. All right, let's get to Richard Hughes. I mean, we talk about so much with the man, the myth, the legend, Richard Hughes. We talk about the overall recruitment strategy. We talk about why we chose Rob Edwards as the new coach. We talk about Rob Edwards' style that he's going to bring to the club. We talk about how Richard got Doakes, Lewis Thomas, and Taylor Allen to all stay with us. We talk about why Aaron Collins left us and how Richard Hughes broke our hearts by releasing our man Stokes. We play a little game like we always do, a stupid little game that you get crushed at, Shum.
Spoilers. No spoilers.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Spoiler alert. We also talk about the signings of Coach's son, Opie Edwards, Big Ben Stevenson, Regan, the Vegan Hendry. We learn all about these guys, and we recorded this pod literally hours before the signings of Jack Aitchison and Sadu Diallo.
Yeah.
While he wouldn't give us their names, we knew they were coming. He mentions it on the pod. He talks about them. He even tells us like who they like. He doesn't say their names, but he says what they bring to the table, why he recruited them. So we have all that. You'll know who he's talking about. We didn't know who he's talking about at the time.
Anyone even a little bit smarter, more in the know about football than us, would have figured it out. But we did not. So it was a nice surprise.
And the hilarious thing is we mentioned Jack Aitchison multiple times in this chat. Multiple times.
Yeah.
And
credit to Richard Hughes, and, man. Shout out to Richard Hughes. He kept
his
poker face the entire time.
Yes. It's so funny. We mentioned Jack many times. Like, oh, man, we should sign Jack. Jack should be a great signing up front. And little did we know that news was coming in mere hours after we recorded. We had to do it that time because we were all traveling, whatever. But anyway, we're back now. We're ready to launch this pod. So it's a great, great chat with Richard. You're going to get to know who Richard is as a person and as a director of football. You'll learn a little bit more about our strategy and a lot of these new guys that we have recruited. Oh, and also Shimmy. Shea Dunkley, Shimmy. The dunk. What do you got to say about Shea Dunkley, Shimmy? Should we just leave it at that?
Yeah, let's just leave it at that. Oh. I mean, one of the coolest names ever. That's just what it is.
It is a very cool name. Well, so anyway, I know Rob Edwards said no more signings, but we have reason to believe that Shea Dunkley, central defender for Sheffield Wednesday, may be heading our way. Maybe. You got to listen to the convo. So listen to that. Feel free to tag EFL Hub or any of those other transfer rumor Twitter accounts that are always wrong. We're trying to get this rumor going. Shea Dunkley to Forest Green Rovers. Anyway, awesome chat with Richard Hughes.
Yes.
So without further ado, Shimmy. Let's get into it. Take it away, Richard. Take it away, us. We welcome to the pod the greenest director of football in the world, the man responsible for signing saviors of humanity. I'm talking about heroes like Jamil, Matt, Udoka Garwamalit, Young Jake Young, Drippy Don Bernard, Dan Sweeney, Lewis Thomas, and I think literally everyone else on this Forest Green Rovers team Richard Hughes probably signed. Ted Knutson. No. Ted Confuston. The Green, Billy Bean. He is one of the most important people at the Forest Green Rovers. One of the people most responsible for our success. He is the director of football for the Forest Green Rovers, Richard Hughes.
Good morning, afternoon.
Good morning, hey, afternoon morning. To you, sir. How you doing?
Good. How are you two? You okay?
Oh, doing great.
Well, thanks.
Doing great.
Enjoying summer?
We've been... What's that?
Enjoying summer?
Trying to. Well, yeah. I think we are. We've both been like crazy busy lately. So actually the end of the season actually coincided nicely with our schedules because we just got so busy. We wanted to do a couple like post season pods and then we just like got so busy. But yeah, it's been nice. I've been traveling a lot. I'm actually leaving in a couple hours for Vegas and then Utah. So yeah, it's been a good summer. What about you?
Busy. Yeah, really busy. That's gone on, but it's been good. It's been good fun. Been good fun along the way.
Yeah, is this your busiest time?
Yeah. So it is, and it's rubbish, really. So like the season will start. My wife's a teacher, so her like quiet time is my busy time, and then like I get a bit of quiet time. She goes back to work, so it's tough. But listen, it's all good. Like
it's all good. Cool. So yeah, in the regular season, are you we're going to get into this, I guess. I'm going to ask you about your recruitment team. But do you have like scouts that go to other clubs? How do you like analyze?
Yeah, so we have three guys that work for us on a part-time basis, but they're brilliant, like, and they're literally like all ends of the spectrum. So there's a guy who works for us like in the Northwest, so around like Manchester way. He's like 23 and an ex-student, but really bright. The guy in the Midlands is like a middle-aged man who works and does a lot of stuff in schools. And then the guy in London, I don't want to do him a disservice, I think he's 78, but he's like an ex-non-league manager and he's got like great knowledge. So we've literally got like 50 years worth of experience across him, which is really cool. Like it's good to get when you get to speak together. So you got everything in there. So it's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I guess I didn't realize. I guess that makes sense. I mean, my only experience with recruiting football players is on FIFA. And you have to you have to send your scouts to like different countries and stuff. But it makes sense. You got someone in the north, someone in the middle, someone down south.
Yeah. Same theory. Yeah.
Also with all the age ranges, it's got to be those different philosophies as well, right?
Yeah, so they're good. They're all really good. Like Tim's done like a master's in performance analysis, who's the guy in the northwest, and then like Brian's just retired and absolutely just loves football.
Oh, that's cool.
So, they're real good guys. And like it's rubbish as well, because I've done that side of it as well, like early in my career, and it's hard because when you're working out on a limb, you want them to feel part of it and stuff. And it's been tough, like last year, because you can't see people and stuff, and it's been weird. But it's hard because these guys work. They're the true heroes. They're the ones grinding, and they don't always get the fame and the reward. It's hard. It's a thankless job, but they're brilliant guys.
Oh, that's awesome. And do you live in Newcastle?
Yes. No, it's different Newcastle. Yeah. So I live in Stoke.
It's like
a borough of Stoke called Newcastle. Yes.
Okay.
So it's the Midlands, about an hour and 40 minutes from Forest Green.
That makes a lot more sense.
You're not living the Geordie Shore lifestyle that we all
live. Yeah, no, not me. Not Geordie Shore or Jersey Shore, very much. I've got two young kids, and like all of our support networks around here as well, which is really important. Like my wife, so much of the heavy lifting because of my job. So it's important that she's got her little world around her as well, because that allows me to function as well.
Right. Yeah. So you have like family and stuff that can take care of the kids and stuff.
Yeah.
Give you guys a little break here and there.
Yeah. When I'm here, there, and everywhere, and up and down the country, she needs the support. It's hard. She's like full time mum, part time teacher. I'd rather be working. Working's easier than doing that for sure.
Yeah. So we're gonna get into it here in a minute, but just some housekeeping. If there's anything proprietary or anything that you think will give up a competitive advantage, just tell us. Say, I'm not answering that. We'll drop it. I mean, we don't have enough listeners anyway, but we do know we do have some Cheltenham fans for some reason who listen to us regularly. I don't know why, but they do. Shout out to you guys, Cheltenham fans. But anyway,
it worked for them this year, Nathan. It worked for them.
That's true. If at any point you just get annoyed with us or tired of us and you want to end the conversation, just make up an excuse so you don't hurt our feelings.
Got you.
So let's get into it. We're going to ask a few fast, quick, hard-hitting questions. Then we'll play a little game. Then we'll talk about all these new signings, all these re-signings, and kind of the plan for the future. So here we go. First question. Harvey Bunker, real or not?
Real.
All right. The evidence is mounting up, Sham. Second question. Can Sham and I pick the next signing?
No.
Okay.
All right.
Third the club
question.
Is in good hands. We need to check that.
Yeah, that was a test.
All right.
Right decision. Third question. Here we go. Why did you get rid of our best friend, Chris Stokes? We have beef.
He's got a great deal. He's gone. He's moved his family to Scotland. He's a happy guy. It was all done on nice terms. He's a good guy. Real good guy.
Good.
Totally agree with that. We're happy that everybody's happy.
That's our man. We love Stokes. That must be like one of the toughest parts of the job is like telling guys like we can't renew the contract. So we'll ask you about that in a little bit. All right, fourth question. Here we go. This is the true measure of a man. Fart barf man or barf fart man? Which name is funnier?
Barf fart man.
Let's go. You agree with that, Sham?
Yeah. Guess I have to agree with it.
All right, so we have a lot to talk about. We want to ask you about all three signings: Regan Hendry, Ben Stevenson, Opie Edwards. There might be another one too. I don't know. We'll find out.
Let's hope not Barf Fartman.
We will because we're recording this on Thursday. This pod is going to come out next week, though. Sham and I are going to be traveling this weekend. We can't put it out till next week, but so maybe there'll be another one between now and then.
Maybe.
Richard, will there be?
Blink. Have to wait and see.
Blink twice for yes.
Love it.
Can neither confirm nor deny, gents.
I think I saw two blinks there. Did you see that, Sean?
Yeah. Well, see, this also, neither confirm or deny leads me to think that Harvey Bunker may still be a CIA /MI5 project. We'll see.
So we want to ask you all about the three new guys. I want to also ask you about Dokes, Lewis Thomas, Taylor Allen, how you re-signed all those guys. Also, got to ask you about the one that got away, Aaron Collins. Want to talk to you a little bit about the plan for the future after that, and I want to talk to you about some of the summer signings that have not yet been announced. But first, how's your summer been? Are you able to go anywhere? Are you able to relax, or is it just like go nonstop?
Not yet. No, I'll get a bit of time away at some point, but it's been nonstop from the start of last year, to be honest, with all the COVID season, and then making the change in April, Jimmy coming in and doing great, getting to the playoffs, and then Rob coming in, then recruitment. It's been relentless, but it's been really good. It's been a good place to be around as well, for the most part. And it's good. Like, I'm lucky. I don't class myself as having a real job. I have one of the best jobs in the world. So at the point where I don't enjoy working, we've got a massive problem.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you do. I think millions of people around the world would kill for your job, because, like I said, millions of people around the world play Football Manager. Millions of people around the world play, you know, FIFA. And I feel like you do that because you love the idea of like going out, finding these hidden gems, building up this team that, you know, and it's so cool. It's such a cool job. We're gonna get into it in just a few minutes. But before we do, we always like to loosen up the conversation a little bit with a little game, a quick game. So, Richard, are you down to play this game that I haven't told you what it is yet?
Absolutely. Why not?
Oh, let's go. blindly agreed. Sham, you're playing too. I don't know if you knew that. So it's you versus Sham. We're going to go through a few players that you recruited. I'm assuming that you recruited anyway. You have to guess their player rating on FIFA between 0 and 100. You got it?
Okay, let's go.
Let's do it.
All right, let's go. Let's do it. Here we go. First player, guess the player's FIFA rating, players that you recruited. First one, here we go. Big Ben Stevenson. We'll go Sham first, then you. Sham, what is Big Ben Stevenson's FIFA rating?
Big Ben Stevenson. Well, I'm sure he's as strong and sturdy as Big Ben itself down in London. So I'm going to guess he has a rating of 89.
89, all right. I think you can tell by my laugh, Richard, that is a ridiculous rating for a League 2 player. But, Richard, what is your guess?
I love Ben, and I'm going to go with something around 63.
Oh, my God. All right. Oh, I guess I didn't make the rules for this yet. I guess we'll say plus or minus. If you're in plus or minus 3, it'll count. No, plus or minus, that's too much. Plus or minus 2, it'll count. So this counts. He said 63. That is brilliant. That's why he's the best director of football in the game, because his FIFA player rating is 64.
You didn't mention a name. So when you said he, I was going to think you meant, I thought you meant me. Because the rating's like 87. Is that right?
Not you. Not you. Right. 89. Okay. That's like Fulham. Back when they were Premier League, didn't have a player even in the 80s, I think. Anyway. All right. Let's keep it rolling. Here we go. Next one. the real deal, Jamil, Jamaican Jackhammer Jamma, Jamil Matt. What is his FIFA rating, Sham? Then Richard.
Well, in this case, I mean, he deserves to be in the high 80s.
I agree.
But okay, let's be a little more realistic. So, since he is, okay, he's been a strong League Two player. So I'll say 78.
78. All right, Richard Hughes.
Big Jamma. I'll go for 62.
You got it again.
Oh my God.
It's almost like you're a director of football. You got it again. It's 64. Same rating as Ben Stevens, 64.
Wow.
Sham, you have obviously never played at the lower leagues on FIFA.
No, I haven't.
What are these ratings, man? All right, we'll do two more. Here we go. Okay. Our boy Drippy, Dom Bernard. Sham, Richard.
All right, Drippy, Dom Bernard. So I'm going to learn from my first two wildly erroneous guesses. I'll say Drippy Dom is a 66.
All right, Richard Hughes.
I'm going to go that Dom will be scandalously underrated and put him around 58.
Oh my God, Richard is so good at this. He's 60. He's 60. 3-0 to Richard. This is amazing. Oh my God.
He don't miss.
I'm blown away. And I agree. I think all these guys are scandalously underrated. Yeah. And oh, by the way, these are ratings from FIFA 21. We don't know what they're going to be on FIFA. Maybe they'll make corrections on FIFA 22 and actually put Jamma at 78.
Yeah.
And which will be higher than many European nations' national league best players. And,
so yeah, let's just call this as an endorsement of my, you know, job prospects at EA Sports for the next.
There we go. EA. Yeah. Anyone from EA, if you're listening, hire Sham. Hire this man. All right, last one. Here we go. The only American on the team, the American Dream, Vaughn Koval, who's sort of American. He's born in San Diego. On Wikipedia, he has a little USA flag, so we'll call him American, even though I think he grew up in the UK. Sham, what do you got?
Okay, well, just like we have the Scoville scale of chili peppers, have you guys ever heard of this? It's the scale where they measure like how hot like a ghost pepper and everything is. I'm going to go logarithmic. I'm going to say Vaughn Koval has a FIFA rating of 500 million.
All right.
Like it's the Colville scale of FIFA rating.
The Hail Mary shot there for Sham. All right, Richard.
He's a young boy, so I'll go 53.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. This one's going to be close, I think.
51. Richard, you nailed it. You got every single one right. This man knows his players. I am glad we have this man on our team. Oh,
probably.
My God.
I bow to Richard Hughes's.
I am blown away.
Football knowledge.
I am blown away how accurate you were. That was amazing. And blown away how bad Sham was. I mean, well, Sham's never won one of these, but I thought you would at least be close, but not even close.
What can I say? I exceed expectations.
That's right. You do. All right. So let's move on to your actual job, which is director of football at the Forest Green Rovers. So first, Richard, could you just tell us what is your job? What are you responsible for as director of football?
Good question. I find myself asking this a lot. No, so it was something that me and Dale had spoke about in changing the structure a little bit. So my responsibility is all the football and performance side of things. So sort of hiring the head coach, data analysis, sports science, medicine, academy, recruitment. And then one of the things that got added to it was the pitch. So pitch the groundsman, all the operations stuff. So I work alongside Henry. Henry takes club and commercial and community, and I take football and performance. So anything falling under like a football and performance remit would fall under me. So they'd be the main bits. But anything that helps us go better on the pitch or off the pitch kind of falls under me, and we work it through that way.
That is crazy. I mean, I knew, you know, whatever, we all think of players. We know players, director of football. I think I knew, like, well, we're going to ask you a little bit later about the women's team. I think you work with them as well, and the youth, the academy.
Yeah.
But the groundskeepers, you said?
Yeah. So that was something We had issues with the pitch a couple of years ago, and it kind of changed the way we played because we couldn't pass the ball as much as we wanted to. So it was something we spoke about. So the groundsman came under me. We made a couple of changes last summer. So it was Nige, the groundsman. It was his first year with us. So me and James Mooney, the head of football ops, have been working with him, and he's done a brilliant job for us this year. And we got League Two Pitch of the Year, which was brilliant for Nigel. So we've told him that if he doesn't achieve that every year, he's under severe job pressure. It's going to be really tough for him. He's got a big act to follow. That was the theory behind it. Like, the pitch can change the way you play. Like, I'm sure you saw some of the games with some of the pitches we were on last year, like Newport
County.
Yeah. And we think it affects performance. So we treat it properly. And if we can make it better, it helps us. So it kind of falls under my remit.
Oh, wow. So were you responsible when we played Cheltenham at home? Were you the one responsible for moving all the advertisements up to the touchline? So
it depends. Not if you get Cheltenham fans listening to this, no. If you get Cheltenham fans listening, yes, we may have been part of it. But we didn't break any rules. We just didn't make it easy for them.
Love it. That's perfect. Amazing.
The dark arts of football, man. You know?
That's right. So League Two Pitch of the Year or League Two Championship, which one is a bigger honor for you?
Oh, we want to get promoted. That's what we want.
All right.
Pitch is locally, but we want to get promoted.
Why not do the double? Let's do the double.
Yeah, let's do the double next year.
Yeah, that's the dream.
And also, again, you know, this is a news-breaking, hard-hitting podcast, so we need to know, Richard. How much is Mobot on a week? What's his salary?
I have no idea. I don't know. I've not seen Mobot for a while. It normally appears at the press days. I'm sure it'll get reeled out again soon. We know them, like, bring it out for the big occasions.
Oh, that's great. I love that. We've been trying to book an interview with Mobot, but we've been unsuccessful.
Yeah.
We'll look with Harvey Bunker.
And you mentioned James Mooney. Shout out James Mooney. His wife is American. He actually lived in the US for a while. Do you know?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolute. He's the glue guy at the club. He makes everything tick. He's the man. He makes everything happen. He's been at the club, I think it was 8 years, not long ago. He's the glue guy.
Wow. He
makes everything and everyone tick. Every club needs a James Mooney.
Wow. Including hopping on the mics. He does that. He does everything. Like, he's done some commentating during some of the away game.
Yeah, no, he's good at it as well. He's
he is.
Game, and he's brilliant. He's an absolute dream to work with. He's so good. He just makes everything happen. We need people like that around us all the time.
That's awesome.
That's something we've noticed from the players on the pitch when we've had a chance to talk to them, see them, you know, on Tuesdays and Saturdays this past year. But even people in the front office, it just seems like everybody takes on these Herculean tasks, but just does it with such good cheer, with such passion. Yeah. We can't help but, you know, keep falling deeper in love with the club. We just love that spirit about this club.
Yeah, and to not make it a James Mooney appreciation pod, but like, he's the guy that gets everything sorted for the players so they can go out and perform. He takes care of all the little details for them, and that's just massive. It's so important for a club to have, because then the boys can go out and play with no worries and no fear. And having people like that is huge for us. It's a real asset.
Oh, that's awesome. We got to have him on one of these days.
Yeah. And podcasting is a saturated medium too, so this may soon turn into a James Mooney appreciation pod. Trying to find every niche.
Yeah, there will be more of that, doesn't it? So make it happen. You heard it here first.
I love it. All right, so coming back to you, coming back to director of football, is there anyone you look up to in the director of football world? Like when we think of, well, when I think of recruitment, all I know is like two names. They're both American, actually. Ted Knutson, who's like responsible for a lot of Brentford's early success.
Yeah.
Tony Khan, who's been responsible for a lot of Fulham's not success. Sean, you probably know some more as an Arsenal fan especially, but are there any directors of football that you like learn from or model yourself after, and will you be starting your own professional wrestling league like Tony Khan?
Definitely not starting a professional wrestling league just yet. I wouldn't rule it out. I think the players in it. I think that's
going really well for Tony, as you could.
That could have legs. We get our players wrestling. you know what? Directors that I don't. There's not loads, but there's loads of good guys that you bump into and you speak to. I was really lucky when I first started out in football. There's a guy called Glenn Chamberlain who I just got. sort of fell across with happenstance. He's at Blackburn Rovers at the minute, but he's like a real great guy. He worked at Burnley, Fulham. He's worked at loads of clubs. He's a real great guy, loads of experience. And then when I worked at Wigan as well, we had there was four of us in the recruitment department, and like the three guys I worked with, Colin, Jamie and Matt, they were brilliant. So Matt now works at Wolves, taking care of all their loans. Colin's a senior scout at Swansea, and then Jamie went to be chief exec of another club, and he's actually out of football at the minute. But those three guys were brilliant for me. Like coming into that full-time role, they've got like a real breadth of experience, and like three people I can like pick up the phone to and ask for advice, and they'll always help me out. So there's loads of really good people out there. That Cheltenham's director of football is a good guy. We see each other quite a lot. We speak. There's some really good people out there that just want to help and be at the end of a phone, which is what you need, because sometimes you can be a little bit isolated with it, and you need to be able to speak to people that know what you're going through and know your challenges. So there's loads of really good guys out there. There really is.
That's awesome. That's cool that you have such a good relationship with these guys too, especially our enemy, Cheltenham. You know, I wish they weren't our enemy, because it's such a good, I should edit this out, but it's such a good story. Like, it's so amazing what they were able to do. It's just beautiful. Like, from the manager all the way down to the recruitment, it's awesome. Like, how they were able to.
Yeah, they've done great this year. I know it'll probably make me slightly unpopular saying that on our pod, but
we'll cut this out.
Yeah, they did brilliant. Like, and Mickey, their director of football, sort of, he came in as head of recruitment just after I did, and then got promoted to director. Wow. So, like, known him for a good few years, and like, there's loads of really good people out there.
Yeah.
And like Cambridge's director of football, Ben Strang, really great guy, and delighted for them to get promoted as well last year. They were brilliant. They really deserved it, and it's nice when you see good people that you know and you've dealt with, and you get to see them have a bit of success. It's really nice to see, and then hopefully next year that's us as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and we think that we're on our way too, and I think that's why Nathan and I and a lot of the folks that have sort of caught on, maybe through this podcast or through other avenues, to Forest Green and League Two football. It's just so awesome to hear that. Again, it's about like the people, it's about the community, even if, you know, obviously you have to worry about competitive edge. It's still the business. It's still trying to be sustainable, and you want to be as successful as you can. But it's, you know, it's not at the expense of other people's humanity, right? It's still about the community, even amongst front office and organizational levels. And that's just so cool to hear. You know, it's not just like this insanely high stakes, cutthroat kind of business.
Yeah, no, it's cool. And it was really cool to be a part of that at the end of this year. It was really disappointing to lose against Newport, but then, like, all the staff across the club came and had a drink after the game, and it was great. And it was like nice to that everyone was in a room, sat and having a drink together. And it felt like it was a horrible way to end the season in terms of losing the tie. But from a club perspective, it was great that people were able to sit and socialise a little bit and find out what people were doing and go away and have a break. And then everyone's coming back ready to go and ready to make everything perfect again for this year. It's important. Football has such a huge part to play in people's lives, and we're the people that can affect that, and can affect the connectivity they have with the club. And I think we have to take that responsibility seriously, because it's massive for people. And, mm-hmm. and I think over the last year people have really missed on being able to go to football, so they need that connection back, and we're the people that can make it happen, so we have to.
Yeah.
Oh, so awesome. Let me ask you a quick question then. Which do you find a little more stressful or nerve-wracking? You find when it's like deciding on a player, kind of, you know, meeting with reps, having these like, you know, business meetings, or is it attending a fan forum and having to face down the fans and their questions, their concerns?
They're both stressful, but like it's good. It's, you know, I've really enjoyed the fans forums we've done, because it's important to get a steer as to what's important to them. because we're only as good as a football club as the fans that support us and back us, and we have to represent them. And I think that's something Henry's been working on in terms of getting some fan representation into board meetings and things like that. We want to be successful. We stand for what we stand for, but we want fans to be a part of it as well. It's really important. Like I said, we've got to keep that. We've got to make it so the fans feel proud to be Forest Green Rovers fans and want us to do well and want to see us be successful and want to feel like they're part of it as well. It's huge for us. So it's really important. But meeting agents and players is really exciting, but without being too blunt about it as well. It's not a nervous event because we know what we stand for as a football club, and we want the players to want to come and play for us. So we'll get everything in place, but we want them to pick us and say, yeah, do you know what? I want to come and be a Forest Green Rovers player. That's what we want to see. So, and if they don't see it, that we wish them luck and they move on and we go and get somebody else. But we want players that want to play for us and represent us. That's what we're in it for.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
awesome. That club confidence. And I think that's why club of Forest Green size has done so well and has made so many huge strides, is that confidence to be like, hey, we are who we are. You know, you're either with us or you're the best of luck.
Yeah, that's how we see it.
We're going to ask you about your pitches in a little bit, because they're a little they're kind of famous. I think you're well known for being like a master of closing the deal. We want to ask you a little bit about that later. But going back to what you just mentioned, like convincing players that Forest Green Rovers is the best move for them. Why was it the best move for you? Like, how did you, first of all, how did you get into this line of work? And secondly, how did you end up at Forest Green?
So I finished university and had no idea what I wanted to do. So did a bit of work for a print company, which was cool. It had its charm, but it wasn't what I wanted to do. So kind of figured that wasn't for me. And then I actually came across to the States and did some coaching for a few months all down the East Coast. I think 5 months over there, which was awesome. Like doing summer camps and things like that. A really cool opportunity. And then when I came back,
Were you in New York at all?
So I had a week in Sleepy Hollow, just outside New York. So that was really cool. And that was, it worked out perfectly. My down week where I had a boutique group, so it was 3 to 4.5 year olds. So I literally had them for an hour in the morning. That was kind of my week off. And that was while we were in New York. So I was getting into New York centered by lunchtime, which was a brilliant week and a really cool experience. But did a lot of the East Coast down from sort of New Jersey, New York, did a week in Atlanta. So really cool. I had a great time. And then I came back and I was like, you know what? I think football's for me. It's always been what I've enjoyed, always been what I've loved being involved in. So how can I make it happen? And then from that, produced a portfolio on my work, sent out to a load of clubs. Glyn Chamberlain, who I mentioned before, he was assistant manager at Macclesfield. He came back to me, did some work with him for 4 months. The club unfortunately got relegated. Glyn lost his job and kind of said to me, he said, look, I really enjoyed working with you. If anything comes up in the future, will you come work with me again? Said, yeah, of course, no problem. And kind of kept in touch with him, but not massively. So went through the same process again, sent out all my work, and then got picked up by a club called Tamworth, who were in the National League at the time. Did some work there for 18 months, really enjoyed it. There was literally, I think it was 3 full-time members of staff. So got real open experience to everything. And then got a call from Glenn, who just been appointed as chief scout of Burnley, and he said, Rich, will you come work with me again? And jumped at the chance. They were in line to be promoted, so went to work there for 18 months. And then just at the time I was getting married, I got an interview for a job at Wigan as a recruitment analyst. Went in there, had 3 really good years there, nearly worked with some really great people. There was a change in manager, a slight change in direction at the club. Got approached by Everton to go and help in their academy recruitment department. Went there. I didn't massively enjoy it. It wasn't me. I like being part of a small, tight-knit organisation. And then I got a call from Scott Lindsay at Forest Green at the time, who I'd worked with at Tamworth. And he said, Rich, do you want to come and have a chat with me and Mark about recruitment? I said, yeah, no problem. I thought they were just going to pick my brains. we ended up having 4 or 5 hours talking about bits and pieces, and then a few days later got invited in to meet Dale, went through some of the things, how I work, and what it might look like, and that was a real experience meeting Dale for the first time and going into the Eco offices, which was really cool. And he kind of just said, I was in there for about half an hour, and he kind of just said, okay, just give me 5 minutes if you don't mind. So yeah, no problem. Went down to reception, and then he walked down and said, if we shake hands, will you take the job? I said, yeah, absolutely. And just like that, it was done. And then we sort of rejigged it, my role from head of recruitment to director of football, after about 15 months, and not looked back since.
Man, that's amazing. Awesome. Yeah. That's amazing. What a journey. And oh man, I think, you know, I speak for Sham and every FGR fan just when I say, like, we're so lucky that we have you, because I think you've done such a phenomenal job with recruitment over the last few years. And it can't have been easy with the previous manager, all the signings that you had to make. So he kept... What's that? Sorry.
There was definitely a lot of them, but listen, it was what it was, and we've got a really good group as well now.
Oh man, absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, we all feel so lucky to have, like, the high level decision makers that we have, with you, with Dale, with Henry. I feel like we are on the right path, and when Henry and Dale, like, say with such confidence, like, yeah, we're getting promoted. Like, we believe it, because we know, because we believe in the leadership. We see the player, the quality of players, but, and also the personality of these players that you bring in. It seems like exactly the right mix of what you need to be successful. Now we just need that luck, and we just need a little bit of luck, not get these injuries, and we're in great shape to go up. So, what do you love about your job, Richard?
I love the fact that no day is ever the same. I like the spontaneity of it. I like the fact that you can be pulled in one direction one day and then pulled back in another, and that feeling when you've chased a player for a long time and you've done all the hard yards, and then you actually get to see him in your building signing the paperwork. That's a really cool feeling to know you've put in the work, and then you're getting the rewards at the end of it. But I love going into work. I love working with the people we work with. Some great people at the football club. I know you've had some on, and some you'll have heard about and some you won't, but there's some really great people at the club, and being in an environment like that, when you've been in a big club as well where you can just be a bit of a name, it's nice to go and work in a place where you can let people be who they want to be and who they are, and actually show their personality in the work. That's a really cool thing to be part of.
Oh, that's awesome. That's beautiful. And so, kind of on the flip side, what's the hardest part of the job?
Having to make tough decisions and give people bad news. Nobody likes it. It's not a nice thing to do. And you're constantly having to make decisions, and you kind of know that some people aren't going to like how you've made them or what you've got to do. And sometimes they don't understand the bigger picture of things, which is hard. You know in your head that you're trying to take something in one direction, and giving something to somebody at this point takes you off in a slightly different direction. So it's really hard. And then the other side of it as well, when players leave, like, it's horrible because you get to know them. You get to know them like your friends when you're trying to sign them and know everything about them. And then when you have to sit across the table and say, look, I'm sorry, we're going in a different direction, because we've had some really, really good people at the football club who've had to move on. And that's hard. Like, that's no fun. And it's no fun being the bearer of bad news. But the good parts of it outweigh the bad parts a lot of the time.
Yeah. Like our boy Stokesy, shout out Stokesy.
Just a quick follow up there. So Richard, is there any sort of do you have to have sort of a short term memory, or do some of these interactions, you don't have to name names obviously, but do some of those interactions kind of stick with you? Does it inform how you handle that process, the more difficult parts of the job later on? Or do you just kind of, like, you know, it's a part of the business, you have to handle it, have, you know, short term memory, just get it out and move on?
A little bit of both. You learn from how you do things, but you've also got to be in tune enough to know that how people are going to want news delivered. Some people would just have it straight and served up. Some people want it sugarcoating a little bit, and just knowing the people you're dealing with. And I don't think you guys probably know yourself, like, there's no good way to give people bad news, but you got to be respectful and honest, and kind of just got to pull off the plaster sometimes and tell people and know that they'll be upset for a while, and then try and do things in the right way. That's all you can do. And unfortunately, sometimes in football, if you can, you have to do some horrible things, but if you can go to sleep at night and put your head on the pillow and know you've tried to do things the right way, that's sometimes all you've got, without being too dramatic. But it's sometimes a bad news industry, and you have to do it sometimes, but you've got to try and know you've done it in the best possible way.
Yeah, absolutely. So how much of your decisions are guided by analytics? How much are guided by just like the eye test? Like, that guy looks like a good, like, you know, we've watched him several games. He fits what we need. How much is just finding high potential players on Football Manager?
not much of the Football Manager side, unfortunately. I don't get time to play it. I'd love to. I used to play it loads as a kid. It's a mix of both. It's a mix of both. We have to be able to do both, because data can help us massively with certain types of players, but then other players, it has to be done by eye. So like the boys we've signed from Scotland, they've always been sort of slightly identified by data. So Jack Aitchison, when we took him from Celtic, Nicky Cadden and Regan Hendry, they were kind of led by data. And then you've got people like Taylor Allen and Doakes, who are playing at levels where there's no data captured, and that is just people being out there and seeing the high potential of these guys. So you've got to be able to put on both hats, and sometimes you can combine the two, sometimes you can't, sometimes you've got to rely on bits and pieces. But like, we're really lucky that we've got some good people out there helping us spot players and flagging players too as well. We've always been really lucky with that as well.
That's awesome. Jack Aitchison, is he coming back? Saw the Regan Hendry tweet.
They're big pals. So Regan spoke to Jack about the club before he came. So
Oh, nice.
So yeah, never say never in football.
Let's go. That's got to help too. I feel like so many of the players like who've been here love the club, and I have to imagine that helps in recruitment. And not only that, like, you see how successful some of these players are after leaving the club. That has to help too. I mean, you look at most recently Liam Kitching and Carl Winchester. You look at Deutsch. I mean, it's that has to be a major recruitment tool when you can say to guys like, look, we can take you, develop you, and look where you can go.
Yeah, 100%. And we lean on it as well. And we need to be able to make sure that, so some of these people that have left the football club, that if they get a call from someone, they go, yeah, do you know what? That place does things properly. They look after people. They're good people. You'll get good opportunities. And if you get that, then you'll get good people saying things about your football club, which helps, because football's a really small village. Somebody said to me, well, it's like 3 degrees of separation in football. You always know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody.
Right.
You're always connected. So you need people to be able to say good things about your football club and
sure
see a progression. So it's massive, massive part of it.
Right. Here's a petition to replace the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon with the 3 degrees of Forest Green Rovers.
Yeah,
we're going to launch it.
It is. It definitely is the same thing. You can connect everyone in football normally. So it's really important that people want to be positive about you.
Yeah. Yeah. And you see that too on social media. Like, all of our guys, like when you follow them, especially on Instagram, they're always posting, like, you know, like, congratulations to this random player, you know, what, this player, this, you know, team, this player. They're all connected. And like you said, it's really good to leave a good mark. Just going back to recruitment, how much input does the coach have? Like, both Cooper kind of before and now Rob Edwards.
They always have a massive part of it. They always have a sign off on everything. There'll be players that they'll lead that they know they've worked with in the past, and everything we've done and everything we try and do always becomes a royal we. Like, so me and Mark or me and Rob will have conversations about what it looks like and what we think we should do. But then when we're doing it, we're doing it as a united front, and that's what we've decided for the football club. So it's always done in collaboration. There's nobody ever been signed without a head coach knowing who it is.
Nice. And what about Dale? Does he have any input, or he just kind of like leaves it on you?
He does with a few bits, but that's one of the really great things about working for Dale. He lets people do the jobs, which sounds simple, but like he trusts us with it. He knows, he brought me in to help with the recruitment and the direction of the football club, and he lets me do it, which is brilliant. Like, you don't always get that in places. So he knows certain things. He knows what he likes. He knows, he always wants to know the information about him, but he lets us do our jobs, which is amazing. It just doesn't always happen.
Yeah. And how much easier is your job now that Cooper is gone and you don't have to sign 45 players every transfer window? I'm just kidding. Don't answer that. Don't answer that. just kidding. So I don't want to ask you about the recruitment strategy, because as we already mentioned, we have some Cheltenham listeners. Don't, for some reason. So don't want to give that away. But if you can, just without giving too much away, like, do you have a guiding, just general broad philosophy that you use when thinking about recruitment?
Yeah, we do. So one of the things we look at is like the value of the player, and that's not like the financial value. It's can they help us? So someone like a Jamiel Matt, we knew could help us massively because he adds value to our team when we're out on the pitch. And then somebody at the flip side of that, like Doakes, we know he adds value to us because he's an unbelievable asset. So we want players that can help us. We want players that can get better as well. We want them to have that growth mindset and be open to getting better and improving. And we get a lot of that with lads coming out of non-league, but we also get a lot of that with the lads coming out of academies and starting their journeys again and going, yeah, do you know what? Like, this is the place to reinvent myself. We coined the term broken toys. That's how we see them. There's lads at our level have always got something that they're not great at, but we don't want to focus on that. We want to focus on what they're brilliant at and make them better at it and then help them with everything. And we want lads that want to let us help them. It's a big part of what we're trying to do.
Oh, yeah, we've heard about the broken toy strategy that we have, which is beautiful. But I wonder if do you look at all at the I don't even know if you have the ability to, but do you do any research into like who the player is like off the pitch? Because, you know, when Sean and I we've met Jamiel, we've met Doakes, we've met Jake Young, we've met Dom, we've met Stokes, we met Dan Sweeney, we met Lewis Thomas. All these guys were just like phenomenal human beings off the pitch, and we were just like blown away. Like, do we only recruit like awesome?
It doesn't seem like a coincidence. Humans? Yeah.
Yeah. So I just wonder, I don't know. Do you look at that at all? And I don't even know how you would, but like maybe talking, is that like part of the equation?
So yeah, no, it's massive for us. We really get into personality. We want to sit down and see them before we sign them and have a conversation, figure out what their world looks like who's important, who's family, who's friends, what's it look like, where do you want to get to, where have you come from. We want to get a real understanding of that, and as well that point about everybody in football always knows someone. You can always get good people and you want to speak to them, people trust you, go, okay, do you know him, have you worked with him, what, how did you find this, did you play with him, and that side of it. So we really stress it, because like you said, I think our guys are amazing. Like, there's some such good characters in that group, and I think it's brilliant as well that they come on something like your pod and they get to express themselves as well. It's brilliant because
we think that too. For purely selfish reasons.
Use that as a sales pitch for it, but like, right. I think it's great that the fans can get, like, in a year that where they've not been able to come and see him live, to be able to get a steer as to them as people. It's just so cool. Like, because they're great guys. Like, they're a real good group of characters, and I think you probably get that from speaking to them as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think it's important for people to be able to know them, that they are footballers, but they're just good people as well.
Mm-hmm. And 100%.
And people need more good people in the world.
Yeah,
100%. And it makes you love them and root for them even more too. Like, I found, like, you know, once we meet them, it's like, oh my god, that's my guy. And you kind of like feel. Like for example, when, I don't know if they're not playing or whatever, or they're not playing well, you like really feel for them, because like you really like them as a person, and I just feel like it builds a bigger bond between the players and the fans when they are such great guys off the pitch. So kudos to you and your team for that too, because I feel like you've only brought in outstanding human beings, and it's just awesome. Another way in which we are blessed as fans.
Not to get like too big picture about being a fan too, but just this past year for us as supporters has been a great antidote to what we kind of see as like a lot of negativity around football, with like things that have gone on with abuse on social media, with kind of like this disconnect with the Super League, you know, the teams wanting to do that at the highest level. Just being able to have that connection has been, and seeing that these are in fact human beings, the humanization that we've been able to see over the past season has been awesome.
I think it's important, and it needs to continue as well. And I think, like, a massive shout out to Connor and Noah with the exposure they get. Yes. These people need to get to know them because they're real good people.
Yes.
It's massive. And the more we can expose people to them, the better it is, because they're great guys. They're all really great guys.
Yeah. And you mentioned, shout out Connor and Noah. That you mentioned earlier, like, how, you know, so many people have such big jobs here. Like, Connor and Noah, like, this two-man team running all the... It's amazing. It's amazing what they do. And it's amazing what everyone does, because I guess that's part of being at such a small club. Everyone has to wear so many hats and has so much to do. And everyone at the club just does a phenomenal job at that. Connor and Noah, no exception. They just absolutely kill it on social media, kill it with the media stuff. Anyway, I'm just wondering, how do you actually make, like, financial valuations of players? Like, I have both, like, when buying and selling, I have absolutely no idea, like, how you do that.
So selling's easier, because a player is only worth what someone wants to pay for. And we always have, like, a figure in our head. And so, like, Liam Kitchen we sold was relatively simple, because we'd literally sold a left-sided centre-half from Forest Green to Barnsley. So there was like, a lot of past on that. And then it's about doing what's right as well. So Liam Kitchen was a great one for him. He moved back closer to home, moved up a level, and the club got really rewarded. Winnie was the same. He got a great reward. He'd been a great servant for the club, and we got some value. So it is hard. It is hard. And then in terms of valuing for us, we have sort of three bands of players. We have those ones that we want to continue to work with and develop. We have lads that help us function as a squad, and then we have, like, the key players, and they sort of fit into one of those three categories. And then if they jump from one to another, we try and reward them as best we can. But Forest Green in the past paid quite a lot of money, but we've been really sensible now, and we've got a well-run squad, and with nobody's on rockstar wages anymore, but they're all good people and they're all here for the right reasons.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. How much of your decisions are, like, this guy fits our system really well, like, we need a piece right there, versus this guy is just a steal, like, he may not fit our system, but he's just too good of a value to pass on?
Both. It's a short answer. We do both. So, like, when we signed Doakes, we didn't need him at all. We had no real gap, but we felt it was too good to turn down. And then other bits are, like, bits to help us and fit holes and where we've not got people. So we do whatever's right and whatever fits one way or the other.
Yeah, I can't believe you re-signed Doak. So we're going to talk about that in a second. But who's do you have, like, a hidden gem that you're kind of, or just anyone, like, is there a single player that you think back and, like, you're so proud that you were able to find this, like, diamond in the rough, or sky diamond in the rough, as we say. Shout out Dale Vince. Who you just, like, you thought he was incredibly undervalued and you turned out to be 100% right.
I think probably Doakes. Like, people at the club get fed up with me talking about Doakes, because, like, he was one of the guys I brought in, but he was brilliant. Like, playing at the level he was playing at, and what he was doing there, he'd be the one, because there was a lot of time. And listen, by the way, not just me as well. Loads of people spent time watching him. We watched him in probably 7 or 8 games, and we were able to make a really good decision. And then, like, the other side of it as well, and he came in to meet us, and we'd agreed everything with Oxford City, and then another club called and gave him a load of spiel, and he'd been into us and seen how authentic it was, and he picked us. So the whole thing of that was was really cool to be a part of. And then that point about the player picking you know he wants to be here and be part of your club, and that's the good bit. So he'd be the one, just because of where he came from and where he's got to in such a short space of time.
Oh, man. Yeah, we're going to get to that in just a few minutes, because I really want to ask about how you managed to keep such a high potential player. And also Doakes, man, one of the most mature young guys I think you'll ever meet, too. Just such a great head on his shoulders. Awesome, awesome human. So kind, so thoughtful. So we need some clickbait to drive listen. So who's your biggest miss? No, I'm just kidding. Don't answer that. Don't answer that. So let's just quickly reflect back on last season, and then I want to move into the signings. So back on last season, like reflecting back on last season, what do you think you got right?
We put together a really strong group at the start of the year, and we started really well. We were performing quite well. I think it was a strong group. It was a strong squad. Lads that did really well, and was going great. And then we had some injuries, and we hit a really rough spell of form, and the team changed week in, week out. And I think we've got a little bit disrupted, but it's also really hard because you're trying to find the formula to win and to snap the trend. So that we started off really well. We signing someone like Jama was great. He'd been the player we'd identified before, and then being able to bring him in and him having sort of the best goal scoring season he's had in his career was brilliant. We lost some big players in January. We felt we recruited okay. In hindsight, I think we probably got centre midfield wrong in January. I've got no qualms and then holding my hands up on that one now. I don't think we really got that right, and I think probably that's one of the areas we've addressed really early in this window with signing Ben and Regan. We felt like that we did get that a little bit wrong, but we learn from it and we go again and we make sure it doesn't happen.
Oh, that's beautiful. And you answered my second question, which was, what do you think you got wrong? What did you learn from it? And you killed it. And I think, yeah, we all see that with all three signings are midfielders, right?
Yeah, so OP can play as a wing back or a winger.
Nice.
And Ben and Regan are both centre midfielders. So, yeah, we listen to that. I think with recruitment as well, you're never going to get it 100% right because you don't know how people react in different circumstances. You change their environment. You don't know how that goes. You're never going to get them right, but you just try and get more right than you get wrong.
Right. Yeah. So I want to ask you about those three in just a sec. But first, let's talk about the re-signing. So we re-signed three out of the four who were out of contract, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Doakes, Lewis Thomas, Taylor Allen. Of course, Aaron Collins left for Bristol Rovers. We'll talk about that in a second. But if we're being honest, man, I think we were shocked that you were able to sign both Doakes and Lewis Thomas again. Taylor Allen, you know, he's still very young. He didn't get a lot of first-team experience last season, and I think FGR has proven to be a great place for someone like him to develop. So I think that one made sense. We've shown that guys like Taylor can excel at FGR. But we thought, like, that's the only guy we're going to keep. We thought Doakes might go to a bigger club in a bigger league. Thought Lewis Thomas might leave for a guaranteed starting position at like another League Two club. So I guess, how did you do it? Like, how did you convince each one to stay? Could you just tell us a little bit about all three and kind of the pitch that convinced them that FGR is like the best place for them?
Yeah, so Tails was one. We were kind of undecided on that, but then we sat back and thought about it, and he had a real rough year through no fault of his own. Mm-hmm. He had COVID and struggled, and he was out for a period of time. He had a loan where the league was suspended and then I think cancelled. But there was like a real loophole where he'd just signed on loan. The league got cancelled, but they wouldn't cancel the loan. So although Leamington couldn't kick a ball and they had no games, he was still technically on loan there, so couldn't play for us. So he had a real stop-start season, and we didn't think that was right. Like, that's not the Taylor Allen we brought in. So we said to him, look, we know we could let you go and you get something, but we want to see how it works for you. We want to give you an opportunity. There's going to be a new head coach. He wants to work with you. And as well with Tails as well, he's moved in a lot of different positions. And we said, look, let's help you. Let's pick a position. Let's work with it and let's see where it takes us. And then wherever that goes is great. So, and Tails got on board with it, which was brilliant. And so that was relatively straightforward. Lewis Thomas was good, so we wanted to keep him. Dan Connor, the goalie coach, really likes him, likes working with him. He's a great lad. And then Rob spoke to him and just explained how it'd be. He said, look, you'll get chances, you'll get opportunities. We'd love you to stop and see how that goes. And Rob knows Pat Mountain, our old goalie coach. Rob worked with him in the past, and I think Rob spoke to Pat and said, look, okay, what's he like? And it got a real positive review on that. So that was relatively simple. And it suits Tomo. He can stay and compete with us. He's a real bright boy. He's doing loads of stuff off the pitch, so he gets chances to do that as well, which is which is great for him. Dokes took a long time to do, not because, and that's not an accusation anyway, it was a complicated process. He'd been with us 2.5 years already and been great, and we sat him down and told him we wanted to stop and we wanted him to be a big part of it. And he's, as you know, he's a real bright boy and takes his time on things and weighed everything up in his head and went away and did his research and said, yeah, do you know what? I think Forest Green is the best place for me to go and keep going. And we're delighted. We're delighted to keep him. I think that's massive for us as a club, and we're so pleased that he's going to be with us. And however long it's for and whatever it takes, we're delighted to have kept him because he's a great player and a great person as well.
Absolutely. 100%, man. 100%. We were all just like blown away. Yeah, and I wonder if part of it is also like, you know, Dokes, he got so much playing time, you know, last year. He's most likely going to get a lot of playing time again this year. And experience is the best teacher. And maybe you go to a higher club, but you don't get that playing time. But yeah, love Dokes, man. We were so excited about that. On to Aaron Collins. We all kind of felt, I think, that he was leaving. He's unbelievably talented. You know, he works so hard, great at carrying the ball, skillful. Just seemed like he was kind of destined for a higher level. Also, I don't know. Don't comment on this, but from our perspective too, it just felt like he didn't 100% click with the fans here. So you know, I think a lot of us thought he was gone, but many of us were I think a bit surprised that he left for another team in our own league. I know historically, you know, Bristol Rovers are considered a bigger club. They're probably going to be, you know, promotion favorites. But I guess just what happened? What happened there with Collins?
So again, we try and do it all properly. We made him a good offer. We did want to keep him. Rob spoke to him. I'd spoke to him. We spoke to his agents. They were seeing what was out there, which was absolutely fine. And he spoke with Rob, and then he met Bristol Rovers. I think he felt, from the conversations we've had, I think he felt he needed to go to keep himself. To keep himself with a fresh challenge, and he felt it was right for him. And you know what? He goes with our best wishes. He's been brilliant for us as a player and as a person, and he's responded to everything that's been thrown at him. And to be fair to Aaron as well, like, he was really respectful in terms of he called Rob and told him his decision and fronted him up as a man, which was brilliant. And that's nice. That's all you want sometimes. Like, people to be honest with you. So he goes with our best wishes for 44 of the 46 games next year. But other than that, we wish him the best, and then hopefully they can finish behind us and still get promoted. But he goes Let's with go. The best wishes of the club, and we don't want people to go away thinking that there's no hard feeling with it. He was respectful. Yeah. He was a grown up about it. So absolutely fair play to him. And let's see how it works out for him. And hopefully it goes well.
You know, he's going to get a hat trick against us. But that's okay. We'll root for that. Let's just win 4-3. Let's win that 4-3. So you can get the hat trick, Collins. We're going to win it though. So what's the plan now on the attack? Cause you know, we struggled to score after Jamma went down. Now we've lost Collins, who I think had the second most minutes after Dokes. So do we plan to replace Collins in the transfer market? Are we expecting guys like March, Maddie Stevens, maybe even Taylor Allen, young Jake Young? Are we expecting them to kind of step up? Do we not need to replace Collins because kind of the style Edwards wants to implement doesn't need that type of player? Like, what's the plan there?
All those things. So we want to bring someone in, and we're confidently working on that, and we're really hopeful we can get something done that will help fill the hole left by Aaron. But then also those boys in there, Matty Stevens, his loan didn't particularly work out at Stevenage, but he didn't get the game time. Josh March's loan started off brilliantly and they got injured. Jake Young had a disjointed season, so and Jammer's back to full fitness and ready to go. So we hope those four step up as well, and they've got to fill the minutes and fill the goals and fill the assists. But we're also going to bring someone in as well that I think, if we're able to get it done, I think it'll be one the fans are really excited about, and a player that they'll really enjoy watching. And I think the players need to step up, and we're going to try and bring someone in to help us and to to recreate some of Aaron's good work and fill the hole left by him. And we're really confident we'll be able to do that with the players we've identified.
Oh, let's nice. Go. So
all right. We started the Pavlovian response, Richard. Richard let's Hughes go. Feels confident and is excited.
Okay, so just say no comment on these, but blink once for no, twice for yes. Is the replacement Alfie May?
No, I'm going to answer that one because I really don't know where that's come about from. Like, it's just... it's just such a misguided rumor. It's incredible. But I just don't know. It's one of those things that has like picked up some Twitter traction and everyone seems to think it's a thing and it just isn't.
But is okay, so okay, there was one blank there. What about let's see here, Paul Mullen?
No, afraid not. Afraid not.
All right. Bruno Andrade.
Afraid not.
Okay, was that two blinks, Sean?
I think Connor McAlim. One and a half.
Joe Ironside. All right, we'll stop.
This one for sure. I know we're getting this. Lionel Messi.
Correct. Yes.
Okay, perfect. Let's go. We got two blinks.
Announce him, Twitter, Connor.
apparently, he is a vegan, Lionel Messi. So there you go.
Really?
Hey,
apparently.
A perfect match.
Synergy. Yeah, synergy. So
all right.
I can't comprehend why he'd go anywhere else, really.
Sean, we have to start spamming him on Twitter. We got to get him here. Well, let's go. And we need a new defender too. Now that we lost Stokes the back, so isn't Sergio Ramos? He's a free agent too, right?
Yeah, and Varane. I think we'll get one of them.
Okay. Let's go. Let's go. All right, but on that note, are we looking for another defender as well, or?
No, we're not, because we've got the guys. So the Big Dan Sweeney, Jordan Moore Taylor, they're both centre defenders, and they have to do jobs for us. So we've got plenty there, and that's why we brought in the centre midfielders we brought in, so those guys can go and do what they're best at.
Sweeney, probably the only central defender who scored 6 goals in 6 games at where was that? Dulwich Hamlet, I think, or something. Yeah. I don't know. We had him on the pod. What an interesting guy, too, man. He used to work construction, or I guess you say builders or something like that in the UK. But he was building all day, and then at night he was going to play non-league football. Like incredible, just incredible, like grit and grind, and just what another great guy.
Yeah, that's what I love as well when people they know. They've worked days in real work, and then they come to football and realize how good it is, and they don't take any day for granted, which is an awesome trait to have.
Oh yeah, and he tells us, he tries to impart that on the other guys too. Like, you guys don't know how good you have it, so don't take this opportunity for granted. And that's such a great thing to have on the team too. So let's talk. We're gonna talk about Regan, Ben, and Opie in just a minute, but. You mentioned we're looking for someone on the attack. Could you tell us like how many more signings we should expect and kind of what areas we're looking to strengthen?
Hopefully two more players. One more attacker and potentially another centre midfielder as well. That's what we're working on at the minute, and we're working really hard to try and get those done, and fingers crossed we get some positive news on those sooner rather than later. Maybe by the time the pod's out, I don't know. Left away.
Uh-oh. You don't want to drop it here? You don't want to make news right now?
No, people know I'm superstitious about them. Until they're in the building, no one knows. Until we've got them there. So fingers crossed it all goes well.
Okay. Well, Dale broke news on the pod just saying he dropped the coffee kit news on the pod, so the boss can do it.
Yeah, no. The boss can do it, but I'm not the boss, so I'm not that brave.
Perfect answer.
All right, fair enough. And probably the coffee kit is also not quite as high stakes as a player signing. But okay, well, you know what? We need to drive listens to this. So we're going to make one up really quick. Let's start some rumors, Sean. We got to get our pod in the headlines. It doesn't have to be true. We just need that, the EFL Hub Twitter account or one of those Twitter accounts to get a hold of it. So let's make one up real quick. Hang on one sec. Let me find an obscure player in the championship. Let's say Sheffield Wednesday. That sound good to you? Anyone in Sheffield Wednesday you want?
I'll take Barry Bannon if he's available.
Barry Bannon. There we go. Josh Windass. Oh, what a name. There's some interesting names. Elias Kachunga. Che Dunkley. Oh, that's a nice one. All right, Barry Bannon.
I signed Che at Wigan. Shay's
you did?
Yeah, I know Shay.
Oh, look at that. Shay Dunkley. That's what a great name, too. He's a defender, it looks like. He is 6'2".
Yeah, big, strong boy, powerful. He's a good player, but not our attacking option, I'm afraid.
Oh, I think I see two blinks there. All right, there we go. So we may or may not be signing Shay Dunkley. We're not going to rule anything out. You heard it here first, EFL Hub. He's signed him before. May sign it again. All right, let's go to the new signings. Apart from Shay Dunkley, we want to go one by one and ask the potential that you see in these players. Like, what was the potential that you saw when you signed them, and what do you expect they'll contribute to the club? So first up, tell us about Opie Edwards, and do you think he will have an unfair advantage because he's related to the coach?
Yes, that is, it's a completely signing based on the fact he's Rob's son. No. So Opie is a player. He's at Bristol City, so he's done really well liked there as well. Really quick, really powerful. I think he'll be one that fans will get excited by seeing. He's quick, he's got a trick, he can beat people in the final third, and it's going to be his first step into senior competitive football, and I think he'll take it and run. He's a real bright kid and comes across really well when you speak to him, so I think he'll fit in with the group, and we're excited to see him where he goes. It's a great platform for him. It's a great signing for us, so fingers crossed it works out and it goes really well for him.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. And what about Big Ben Stevenson? Actually, I have no idea how big Ben Stevenson could be. Really small. Let me just see. How tall is Ben Stevenson? Should we call him Big Ben?
Yeah, six one. So I think you can call him.
All right.
He's in Big Ben territory.
We'll take that. He's in Big Ben land. All right. Oh, but he only weighs 148 pounds, according to Wikipedia. That's pretty light. But anyway, what can we expect, or what did you see? What potential did you see in Ben, and what do you expect out of him?
So it was interesting when we spoke to Ben. He looked like he hadn't enjoyed his football over the last couple of years, and he's a really technically gifted player. He can get around the pitch. He's learned how to compete and be a bit dogged, but he's a lovely footballer. Passes it really well, and when, again, we talk about people knowing people. So when Rob was at Wolves under 23s, he'd actually worked with Ben in the past. So he knows what he's like as a player, knows what he's like as a person. So, and he was a player that we liked anyway. So when me and Rob first banged heads and spoke about it, I said, I like Ben Stevenson. He said, I've worked with him and I like him as a person, as a player. It was a relatively easy one. So, so we combined on that. And yeah, it'd be good for us, Ben. He's a good passer, and he's got the nice long blonde hair as well. I think I think he'll be popular. He'll be a popular player.
Need a Millsy replacement. So there we go.
Yeah, exactly.
Love it. And I hear the vegan food does wonders for the hair. So
yeah,
it will just get better.
Big sound point.
And then finally, the Scottish man, Regan Hendry. Did Henry make you sign Regan just for the vegan Hendry marketing opportunities?
No, but sometimes things just come together, don't you? Sit down. So Regan's a player we'd watched for probably about 18 months. We'd had him on our radar, and I watched him about 5 years ago playing for Celtic's youth team. So he was in the same youth team as Jack Aitchison, Theo Archibald, who we had a couple of years ago. So he's a player that we'd known and tracked, and we kept an eye on. He's got a lovely left foot. He's got a good range of passing. He can make things happen in the final third, and again, he had a lot of good opportunities this summer, but he picked us, which again is really important for how we are. And again, I think he fills a hole of what we lost a little bit when he left the club. So it's important to we address the problems that we had. And again, think he'll be a player the fans enjoy watching, and it comes with a really great reputation from Scotland as a person as well. And like the work he did off the pitch. So fits in with our group again, which is
that's
massive for us.
Beautiful. Yeah. I mean, on Twitter, you never know what to think on Twitter, but on Twitter, like this, I felt like there was more outpouring of support for him from the fans from Wraith Rovers than anyone I've seen. Like that it was just amazing. And it just shows like what a fan favorite he was. So yeah, that's like both, like you said, on the pitch and off the pitch, people seem to love him. And we're also blown away that we were able to sign him, because they all thought he was kind of like destined for bigger, for a higher league. So another incredible job by you. Also cool to hear that you've been scouting him for a while and you didn't just watch the Twitter highlight where he did that little the run that everyone's watching now.
Yeah, no, it's we have to build a profile and we have to work ahead, and sometimes we get the opportunity to do things, sometimes we don't, it never comes to fruition, but it's really cool when you've had a player on the radar for a while and then you get to see him in the club and get him signed. That's one of the real cool parts of the job.
Oh, we're so excited. And all right, well, that's all we'll ask you about the new signings. We know that there's another one, maybe two, coming before this pod is released. So people who are listening right now, you may already know of another one that we don't know about yet. Only apart from Shea Dunkley, that's the only one we know about. But all right, so we only have a couple more questions left. We want to ask you about the academy before we go, and we want to ask you about the women's team before we go. So you're involved with the football side of the academy, right? How do you get those, like, where do you go to recruit those players, and are there any like academy players you think we should look out for?
Yeah, so I'm involved with it, and it's been really cool to be a part of. And I actually think as well, in terms of like some of the best things I've done at the football club, hiring Hannah was one of them. She's brilliant. She's an absolute dream to work with, and she's great at running the academy. So with a lot of the guys in the system up until like sort of 16 will be local, so they have to live within an hour and a half of the stadium. Okay. So they'll all be like relatively local based, and then when at 16 you can open up the barriers of where you can sign them from, because we can give them accommodation. They come into like our full-time scholarship program, so that's something that's really exciting for us in terms of bringing them in. But yeah, do you know what? There's some good guys in the academy now. There's some players coming through. Jimmy's done a good job working with them, and will continue to do so. So we're hoping that the big aim for us, we've had a little bit of success with Vaughan Cove, Luke Hallett, and Harvey Bunker. But the next aim for us, we want one of our academy players that's come to our system to start a league game. That's the next step for us, and we want to achieve that. And that'll be a great marker when we're able to do it. So yeah, there's some good players coming through, and hopefully we can tie that link together between the first team and the academy and get them through so the fans can get to see them, which will be really exciting. And it'll be credit to all the hard work that goes on from everyone that helps run the academy on a day-to-day basis, because it's a huge operation. And they do such good work in terms of looking after them from a people side as well. Take football out of it, it's a massive operation, and they do a really brilliant job.
Oh, I mean, I know nothing about any other academy team in League 2, but I have to imagine that Hannah and Jimmy, like, that duo has to be one of the best in League 2. I mean, I cannot imagine.
We hope so.
Yeah.
We certainly think so. We think that they've been great. They've been great since they both came in.
And yeah.
Long may it continue.
Absolutely. Yeah, great to see that inside of, I think Jimmy Ball posted like a paintball outing or like a kind of team outing. That was so cool to see.
Great little team bonding. And actually, I'm going to ask you one extra question beyond the women's question, or before I get to the women's team. I've meant to ask this before and I forgot, but Rob Edwards. So you know, Jimmy Ball was a huge fan favorite. We all thought he was awesome. We all thought he was a shooting for the job. And then Rob Edwards was signed, which also I think people got really excited about. But I'm just wondering, like, you know, what was it about Rob Edwards that like really like sealed the deal? Like, this is the guy to lead us to promotion.
First and foremost, he's a brilliant man. Like how he speaks, he's a great communicator, and it was a really proud day to be able to. So on the day he's getting unveiled, the fact that he spoke to people. He would speak to the groundsman the same way he'd speak to the chairman or the community. Wow. Going around taking the time to get to know people, and that was great to see in terms of all the things we're talking about, the connection and stuff. And
yes.
And then also when you take that side away and the conversations we've had, you look at the body of work he's done as a coach. I remember watching his Wolves under 23 teams when he was there, and they were great to watch. They had some good players coming through. They had some really good prospects that were continuing to get better under Rob's coaching, and then to go and get someone who's coaching at such a high level as the FA and the work he was doing there was a real was a real pull to be able to get him in. And again, the fact that he saw us as an opportunity where he felt he could be really successful. So it just fitted as what we wanted. It, like, the ages of the players we've re-signed and signed, they're all under 24, so it made sense for us to go for a young British coach who's got good experience of what's important for players and how the game looks, and also has got a real identity in the way he wants to play and the way he wants to coach and like the clarity he has with things as well. He was absolutely adamant about bringing in Richie Kyle as his assistant, which has been, Richie's been great since he came in, and they work really well together and have got some really good ideas on how to coach the group and how to change it up. So we're really, really excited to see where it takes us and where we go with it. But fundamentally, they're both really good people, Richie and Rob, and they fit with what we're trying to do as a club. So we feel like with having that alignment, we've got a real chance.
Yeah, we're so excited. I'm just surprised that are you worried at all that he's going to leave us for a Sky Sports anchor job?
It's always the concern, but hopefully.
Such a good looking guy.
He is a very handsome fella, isn't he? Like,
yeah.
I did say to my wife that he's a good looking bloke, and then she's like, oh, okay. And then she saw him, she's like, yeah, okay. And I'm like, okay, thanks. Feel really inadequate now, but no, he's a great guy. And he's got a great personality and how he deals with people. Nice. It's nice to see, and it helps tie all the
yeah.
points again.
Oh yeah, his first interview, man, it was like the perfect interview for fans to especially after Jimmy, because Jimmy had such a great connection with fans, and I think that was something we really wanted, we really needed. And oh my goodness, like his first interview was perfect for that, for bringing us in, for embracing the fan base. So very excited to see that. Any do we have any like, well, you probably know, I don't know if you're willing to say, but any ideas about how, like, his style? Because I know it's been different when he worked in England versus Wolves, and that was probably due to the, you know, the first team coach. So anything you can tell us there?
Yeah, so he wants us to be aggressive, he wants us to be attacking, he wants us to play on the front foot, and he wants to control the games, and he uses the term, he wants to suffocate the opposition, he wants to make it really hard for them and really oppressive, and the players that we're bringing in feel they can help us do that as well. So he's got his own style of play, and he's got his own characteristics, and we feel that can really help us be successful this year.
Oh, that's exciting. I mean, who doesn't love watching that style of play? That's very exciting. Okay, two last questions here, and we'll get out of here. You've been so gracious with your time. I want to ask about the women's team. How much of a role do you play in that recruitment? And who are some players we should look out for in the coming season there?
So the women's team's going through a real transition at the minute. So a lot of some of the girls that were playing in the team last year are moving away to uni, so they won't be around. And we've sort of restructured it. So Chris and David, who take the lead on that, are really great. They've done loads of really great work with the team that's gone before. And then myself and Hannah have sort of pulled them in. So they had some trial days, which the standard was really great. I couldn't make it because I was on an FA course, which was a real shame. But watched some of the training sessions, and they've been really good. So we're hopeful that'll be a really exciting progression for us. We want to try and help professionalize them in terms of how they operate and bringing them in as part of as another branch of the club. Whereas before, I think they've kind of been out on a limb a little bit. So I think it'll be really exciting to see where that goes. We achieved the upward promotion, which was great. We're hopefully setting up a second team so that we've got a development pathway for the players to come through. And again, without putting too much work on Connor and Noah as well, we want to get some more exposure to the women's team. So people can get to know them and treat them as part of the club. And like the really, you guys probably wouldn't have seen it over there, but the partnership with Sports Direct we've had is really cool. So the FGR women's team featured on an advert for Sports Direct that was aired during the Champions League final over here, which was really cool.
Awesome. Wow.
See our shirt being like lauded around with some of the big characters of the game, which was it was a really cool thing to see. And hopefully that's just a taster of where we're getting to in the future as well. We want to keep pushing them. They want to keep getting better. And again, they've got some really great guys that help with the day-to-day of it. Chris, the coach, David, who oversees it, and eventually when we get the planning permission all sorted for the training ground, we want everyone using the same hub, so Forest Green have their own training ground for absolutely everyone. That's what we want to get to eventually, and it'll be really cool when we're able to do so.
Yeah, we should do the same, Nathan. Exciting. We got to expand our purview to fund the women's game too. And
yeah, no, I'm guessing. I plan on it, or we plan on it. So we're excited. Unfortunately, you know, there wasn't a season when we started potting, but excited to follow them as they were able to play again.
They were undefeated last year until the season got curtailed, which was a real shame. They'd won the first five games. The season was curtailed, which was a real shame, because it would have been really cool to see where that got to.
Oh yeah, oh man, Sham and I are excited to follow that. And yeah, we definitely want to get some players on. That'd be so cool. Get the manager on if we can. So you've been so gracious with your time, though. I want to wrap this up here. So I have one question. Sham has one question, and then we'll get out of here. So my question. When you leave someday, Richard, hopefully it's like, you know, 50 years from now, you're gonna retire it from FGR
at age 80. After we won the Champions League for the third year running.
Yeah, that's right. Third year in a row. That's right. How do you want to be remembered by the FGR community?
Want to be remembered for someone that was able to help establish the club in League Two first and foremost, and brought in the players that the fans love. Like that's the nice thing, that they're able to, so fans can get this exposure to these players. It's not about me or anyone else. It's about Rob and the coaches and the players. And I want people to, I'd love people to be able to remember me as the guy that helped to facilitate those sort of things. That would be really cool, and hopefully be the director of football who's at the helm the first time the club gets into League One, which will just be so exciting, and long may the progression continue with the stadium, the training ground, and with Dale's backing, we keep getting better. That's what I want to be part of.
Perfectly put. Oh my goodness. And you've done that. I mean, fans adore these players. We adore these players. So you've done it all, except for the promotion part, but that's coming this season. So here we go. Sham.
Yeah, we can't help but smile, Richard. Like when you say that, again, we don't just view it as marketing. It's not just like, oh, you know, hey, you know, Richard's being nice about things. We believe it till you have us and other supporters believing. And I think that, you know, contribution to a club is immeasurable when you can feel great about your club. So
you've
totally been a success on that front. So last question, we always save the most important for the last, and it's an important one for the moment as well. Richard, is it coming home?
Absolutely.
Let's go. This will be released on next week, probably Tuesday. And I think you play Ukraine on Saturday.
Yeah, so it might look a little bit silly if we lose Saturday now.
Hopefully you don't lose the Ukraine on Saturday. But all right, you're here to hear first, folks. It's coming home,
baby. It's coming home.
It's coming home. Oh, let's go. Well, Richard, man, thank you so much. Like, we feel, we're so lucky to have you on the pod, but more importantly, we're so lucky to have you at this football club. I think all the fans feel that way. So just appreciate all the amazing work that you do with our club and with so many facets of the club. It's crazy how much you're responsible for. And then to make time for us, just so awesome, man. Really appreciate it. This was an awesome, awesome chat. The greenest director of football in the world. Dare I say the best director of football in League Two, soon to be League One. Man, Richard, thank you so much, man.
Thank you for having me. Keep up the good work, guys. I really enjoy it. I think it's great. I think it's great for all of us. And hopefully you get over soon. You get over to a game.
Absolutely. Yeah, Richard, we know the real reason you're here. We know, you know, you're doing the hard work of scouting for an official club podcast. So we know you're going to come back at least 7 or 8 more times.
I don't think
before
we get
our offer sheet.
That's over to Connor and Noah. That's their team.
But we do plan to come over. We're hoping, or I'm hoping. I don't know if I got Sham convinced yet, but I'm hoping for the first three matches: the opener in August, then the Carabao Cup match, and then I think it's away at Walsall is the third match.
Yeah,
so that's the goal. Hoping to hit up three in the span of a week in early August. So
you're more than
hopefully
welcome,
we'll be guy. There.
You're more than welcome.
Yeah, I can't wait though. Whenever we get over there, it's going to be so such an amazing experience. But anyway, Richard, we won't hold you, man. We really appreciate this, man. This was so awesome.
Yeah, thank you, Richard.
Yeah, no, you're the GOAT. The GOAT, Richard. Appreciate you, man.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been a pleasure to speak to you guys.
Richard Hughes. Oh, my goodness. What a chat. What a man. What a director of football. All right, we are going to wrap it up there. We will see you all next time. We don't know when that next time is going to be. We'll probably have a couple more pods before the season starts. Until then, thank you all for listening. Up the Vegan Rovers. Raise hail, praise Dale.